It's just mind over manner. I don't let myself think that I can't do it. I just go out and do it.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Trail Talk. My guest this week is Jason Silvers. I introduce him in the Facebook Live that this podcast is taken from, so I won't repeat it here. Welcome back. Enjoy the show. Since I am late to this broadcast or to this Facebook Live, I was traveling and was delayed in departure, and so kind of rushed. So instead of doing my normal intro where I come on and talk for a little bit, I thought I'm going to bring Jason on and we're going to just jump right in. So my guest today is Jason Silvers, and I met Jason at a local running event, and he was talking to a GoPro, and I've ran with him a couple of times in some races and just in some training runs, and gotten to know him a little bit. But I've gotten to know him more through his vlogging. And so he has a video blog called The Year I Got the Runs. And so he catalogs all of his races. So we are going to head out on the trail. This is Trail Talk. And as you know, what happens on the trail stays on the trail. Is also public, so that's one of the things. Usually, the confidentiality of not sharing what happens what we talk about on the trail, kind of it's the idea is that we're very relaxed and the conversation can go anywhere that it happens to go, just like we're running together on a trail. Just conversation starts in one spot and just kind of goes from one thing to another. Whatever comes up is what we talk about. So casual conversation is what we're looking at. So welcome, Jason. I wanted to give you just a little bit about, tell a little bit about yourself and what got you started into being a runner.
Okay. First off, I'm going to say there's a slight delay, so forgive me if I step on your words.
Oh, okay.
I live in Kansas City. I've been in Kansas City most of my life, except for when I went off to college in Columbus, Ohio. I was gone for about 4.5 years. But I came home. I've worked in advertising and marketing my whole career. I used to make national TV and print ads for the largest retailer in the world, but I won't say their name.
Okay.
but now I work at a nonprofit, and I feel great about it right now because I help keep family physicians certified so they can take care of everybody all the time, but especially during a important time like this. So what got me into running is I used to do CrossFit. And coming back around to the advertising and marketing, I'm about ready to turn 50. So I realized about 5 years ago that I needed to come up with a skill that kept me employable, because so many young kids were coming out of college. They had been building websites and doing a lot of stuff I'm doing ever since they were very young. So they were willing to take less money to do it, and so I needed to up my game. I had to up my game. So, back to CrossFit, my gym that I was going to, or box as they call it, started incorporating a little more running into the workouts, and I kind of realized that I was good at it without having built myself up to be a runner. So I put those two needs together, my need to up my game and my need to continue my physical fitness, and I decided I was going to teach myself video editing, and I was going to focus on filming myself running, and I was going to keep myself honest by starting a YouTube channel and posting videos once a week.
Okay.
Yeah, so long story. Sorry about
Yeah.
that.
No, that's great. So, and how, I can't remember. It's been, I think it was not this last year, but it was a year before at the alternate Chile run was when you and I first met, and you were, I was volunteering and you were talking to your video camera. So how long at that point had you been doing your videoing?
Okay, good question. I did my first run for my YouTube channel on January 1st, 2015. I
Okay.
had made a couple videos before that, but that was my first race. And I pretty much have done a race every weekend of the year since then. I would take a weekend off here or there, but it's been pretty steady. And so, now we're in April, so I've been doing it for just over 5 years.
A race every weekend. So 52 races a year. Is that kind of your
I think I've gotten as close as like 46 races.
Okay.
And then my first year, I wasn't quite as good with finding races. That's a big part of, because I do a lot of road races, as I think you know. So a big part of it is finding races and entering races. So my first year in 2015, I think I did 38 races.
Okay. Well, that would be a challenge to find, especially, that would be on consecutive weekends.
Yeah, and actually here in Kansas City, it's so easy, especially in the spring and summer. There can be up to 7 races in 1 weekend, and they're all very well attended. But when you're first getting out, you don't know the community, you don't know what websites to look at, you don't know what running stores or running event companies' websites to visit. So there's a lot of research there, and then after year one, it just becomes second nature. And I have a spreadsheet that I have put together, and I actually show every year from 2015 to now. So that helps me a lot too, because those races carry over. They're the same time every year. So
Okay.
I can look and see what race I did, what month, and what day. So if another race catches my eye, I can see where it fits in there or decide which race I want to do based on that spreadsheet.
Wow. Well, yeah, and that's, I didn't know that you had run that many races. I mean, I knew you were, I knew your video, knew you from your videos a lot, but I didn't realize that those were all that many, all packed in together.
I've actually even run 2 races a weekend before, which I know isn't uncommon, but I don't do it very often because I have to spend time editing. So I have to balance running a race or editing a video because I release at 7 a.m. every Monday.
I have a question from Jordan Zimmerman. We've got, in case you're watching this live, I'm going to try to watch the feed. Jordan says, "How do you filter through your video to pick what gets included in your final cuts?" He says, "I have." He says he has an entire 50K of video and he doesn't know what to do with it.
That's a lot of video. Over the years, I've come up with tips and tricks for myself to be faster at editing. It used to take me, on average, 15 to 18 hours per video. So you can imagine if I run a race on Saturday or even Sunday and I'm releasing it on Monday, that's a lot of time editing. So I work in Adobe Premiere, and what I end up doing now is I just select all of my shots and I dump it into the timeline. And I apologize for anyone who doesn't do video editing. I'll try to keep it very basic. But I dump it into the timeline. And if you can imagine just when a timeline is just clip after clip after clip after clip, and it's literally in a line, right? Mm-hmm. And so I will start, I'll start at the very front, and I'll shorten the front of the first clip so it starts where I want it to start, and then I'll watch it, and when I want it to stop where I feel like I've said what needs to be said and everything else is just extra, I clip it down, shove everything over, and I just move on down the video. Then I'll end up with a video that's way too long still, so I put on my client hat instead of my creator hat, and I go, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need that, and I start deleting stuff. And then finally, I look at that timeline, figure out how long the actual running portion is, and then I find royalty-free music that's that same length, and I go through and I edit it a third time to shorten it so it hits the music beats, because I like stuff to cut the rhythm of the music.
So you not only you do your cuts during with the rhythm of the music.
Yeah, if you watch my videos, you'll see everything's on a 2, 4, or 8 beat. Typically, for a few reasons. One is people have a really short attention span, so the music keeps me honest with my timeline, and then it also helps me really decide what I say is important and what is worthy of getting cut out. Because if I'm trying to get it to fit within a 4 beat of a song, that a little extra joke I make at the end might be funny to me, but it's not integral to the story. So out it goes. And I think I end up getting stronger videos that way. The music kind of forces me to think seriously about the edit. So I hope that helps you. I mean, you have a lot of footage to edit. I don't know if it's all the same event that you're trying to edit down, but what I would suggest is don't look at every clip individually and then put it into your timeline. Look at your video as a whole, and don't be afraid to cut out stuff as you go, because even though everything's important to you, if you're showing this to other people, half of it's not important to anybody. the one thing I've learned that has humbled me is I try to keep my videos between 3 and 5 minutes. A half marathon will probably be somewhere between 8 and 9 minutes.
Okay.
No one watches past 75% of the video. I feel like I'm doing it for myself, and I'm hoping other people watch, because if I'm doing it for other people, I'd be somewhat disappointed, because I spend a lot of time for people to watch 50 to 75% of the video. So it's definitely a love and a hobby for myself.
Yeah. So when you're filming, do you, and I noticed the latest video I saw, you had, you kind of turned on the camera every mile. Do you have like a plan for when you film, or is it just when you're running along, you think of something, I should film this? How do you decide what to shoot before you edit?
That's a good question. So I'll go into a race with a basic idea of what the race is. Like the video that I think you just watched was, the theme was, it was the Garmin run, and the theme was the Wizard of Oz. So I thought we'd probably sprinkle some Wizard of Oz something in there, but I don't keep the camera running the whole time, because I don't have, the battery won't last that long. But the camera is always in my hand. My finger is always ready to turn to start filming. But I'm always kind of looking forward. I guess you could say I have like my director's eye on when I run. Mm-hmm. So I'm always kind of scouting for someone in a fun costume, someone who looks like they're struggling so I can cheer them on as I pass them, someone who looks like they're doing really well and I want to kind of give them kudos for that. I don't remember if I said looking for the mile markers, but then I'm also looking for just things of interest. If I'm road racing, maybe someone in costume or someone holding a funny sign. If I'm on a trail, an interesting S curve, a tree that's at a weird angle, a bunch of rocks. But I just try to always keep my eye open. And the thing that I've realized, and you might laugh at this, and other runners that watch this might laugh at this. The few times I've run without my camera, I've found that I get incredibly bored. It really helps me pass time because it keeps my mind active. I'm always kind of scouting. And I think that also might be one of the reasons why, to this day, I've never fallen in a road race and I've only fallen to the ground once on a trail run.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, because
That's a
I'm always looking. Yeah.
yeah, but that's a record for most trail runners.
Yeah.
Most
And
trail runners, it's
for anyone out there that's saying I'm not running hard enough, I'm running plenty hard.
I know. I saw the you know, I saw the clips that you filmed in your latest one when you, the Garmin half marathon. And then you know, it was like you were just kind of taking it easy, and then I looked at your time and I was like, man, you did a you posted up a pretty good time. So yeah,
Oh,
you
thank
weren't
you. Thank you. I think two of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten regarding running actually came from the trail community. So one event I went to, and for you all that don't know me, I ran a local race here called the Snake 10 Miler. And for some reason, I decided I was going to run it in a 1980s costume. So
Oh, really?
I made myself an MTV crop top shirt and jorts with knee-high tube socks and a fanny pack. And I just felt silly showing up because it was not a costume run. And I heard this gentleman who is well respected in the trail running community say to someone else, "No, he actually knows what he's doing," which made me feel really good because he at least thought I was a good enough runner that he didn't think I was just,
That you
being
didn't
a
just
punk.
drop in out of the 1980s.
Yes. And then last year I ran a nighttime 3 mile trail run, and when I finished, I got second place in my age group.
Okay.
And am I allowed to say names
Oh
that
yeah.
people? Okay,
Yeah.
so Ben, who started the Trail Nerds, when I finished, basically said he was very surprised with my finish time and that he thinks I'm a really good runner. And coming from him, who is an ultra runner and an avid runner, it just really made me feel good. Those two compliments were probably the best affirmations I've had since I started running.
Yeah, that's good when you have somebody who can acknowledge you. Like, yeah, I did. And I remember the times when you ran with me, it was like, it wasn't that, I wasn't keeping up with you. You were just hanging back to stay with me when we ran.
I don't.
But
I might disagree with that because we ran that Clinton Lake Trail and we did that 10 mile route. The first time I did just a casual weekend run and ran into you. I think I was struggling a little more than you thought.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a
Okay.
strong runner. You're a strong runner.
Yeah. Well, I'm working at getting faster. Last year was my year for endurance, and so I walked a lot. I got a good walk, But yeah, this year I'm working on my pace. So
there you go. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Still, if I'm running that fast, I still don't talk much, and so you know, it's like I can either run or I can talk. So
yeah. I unfortunately talk a lot, and
well, and you make it look so easy. I mean, as you're running along, I mean, you're just talking, and it just like seems like running comes easy to you.
It has. I feel like it has come easy to me, except I definitely have my plateau. And you probably don't know this, but I do not train at all. So,
well, running a race a week, I can understand how that would keep you kind of going.
I don't run during the week. So one weekend I might run a half marathon. One weekend I might run a 5K. And I've run two 50Ks now.
Okay.
All without training and a handful of marathons. So it does come naturally to me, but if I trained, I think I would actually be really good.
You might be faster, yeah.
I feel like I'm good enough to trick people right now. I'm an imposter.
Well, that's so. How do you do that? I mean, is it just the running on the running on the races that keeps you going, keeps you in shape, or do you do like any strength training? Do you do anything during the week to?
A little, probably. It's hard to say now that we've been home with this pandemic. Going on probably 2 years now. I've been going down to my office gym every day for 4 days a week, and I'll do a beach body workout with a coworker. So we end up doing a full body workout by the end of the week, which has actually helped. But I can tell you what's helped more is finally not being as stubborn as I can be and starting to stretch. but I would have to say probably the number one reason why I'm able to go out and do approach races the way I do is it's just mind over manner. Mm-hmm. I don't let myself think that I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just go out and do it. So the first time I ran a marathon, I had never run farther than 14 miles. So when I got to that 14 mile mile marker, I was like, okay, never gone this far, but here we go. And I just finished the race.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be dishonest. Like I finish and I'm worn out and I go home and I sleep. And I know everyone else probably does that too, but my body probably needs it a little more than others because I'm not approaching this how you probably should approach it.
Well, somebody from a lady that I run with frequently, and we've had some trail talk, and she has told me that she doesn't train much either, is Nell Bessinger.
Oh yeah, I love
and,
Nell.
Yeah, and she's training more now, so she's running a lot faster. But there for a while, she would do very similar to what you did. She'd have very minimal training and go in and run a race. And
yeah, and, for me, I kind of found it, I figured there was a balance because I actually did start to try to train for my first marathon. And I realized I've been pretty injury free for my entire 5 year running career. But when I started running regularly to train for this marathon, I started getting injured. So for me, I had to weigh benefits, and I realized I could train for a race and injure myself, or I could injure myself in a race. But and I had to decide which one I was willing to do, and I kind of decided I'd rather maybe injure myself during a race.
So you said you run two ultras, or two 50K, so yeah, two ultra marathons. Were those trail?
Both of those were the Nighthawk, which is here in Kansas City, as you know. It's a nighttime trail run that starts at 8 p.m. and goes until I think there's a 10 o'clock.
6 a.m. It's a 10-hour cut, 10-hour time limit, because
Okay.
I was DFL in that last year. I was a minute over 6 a.m.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I struggled with that last year.
I bet. That's a hard one. That's a hard
Well,
one.
and it was the course. It wasn't so much the course. It was, well, the course, we had to wade through water last year.
Yeah.
And but
And there was an
and
asphalt element, which was
there was an
hard.
asphalt element, which was hard. And I had, my headlamps would not last, so I was changing batteries, and it was just that I took too long in the aid stations changing batteries, and then
Yeah.
shoe issues. I had a brand new pair of shoes, and it was just all the things that I should have done better. But
But it was a learning experience,
it was
so
a
you
learning
have to mark
experience.
it up as that, and you finished, so props
Yes.
for that.
Yeah.
That was a hard race. I do 90% trail road races and 10% trail runs, if that, maybe only 5%. But on that race, the asphalt element killed me because there is definitely a difference between trail and road, and it's hard to jump back and forth in one race.
And that one, that had a lot of asphalt with it. There were,
We had a lot of flooding that year. Yeah.
yeah. And yeah, so yes, it was. It was, when you got to the asphalt, it was just a whole different thing. It was very humid too. But
Yeah, and I don't know if you experienced this, but when I was heading back to the start finish line at the end of my first loop, because there were three loops as you remember, I was running through just how long was asphalt? It was like a mile and a half,
It
right?
was almost 2 miles, yeah.
Yeah,
The that
so it was a mile and a half, almost 2 miles of just a cloud of gnats, just. Like you couldn't open your mouth, and I'm an open mouth breather runner. So, gnats in my eyes, gnats in my mouth, gnats up my nose. It was really hard. Luckily, they went away after the first
have another question from Nell. She says, which races are your favorite ones? She says,
Oh,
for both of us. So
I know.
she wants to know, she wants to know from both of us our favorite races.
Okay, well, first of all, any race that Nell shows up to, which is almost every race,
Yeah.
I have grown to love two races especially, but it is hard. It's kind of like your children, it's hard to pick. The Rock the Parkway half marathon, which is my first half marathon I did, and I've run it every year, and luckily this year, it got postponed instead of canceled, so I
Oh,
still
that's
get to
good.
run it.
Okay.
I'm really excited about that. And then I would have to say the Nighthawk, which is the 50K you and I were just talking about. I find it really challenging. It's a lot of fun. The Lawrence Trailhawks do an amazing job. It's well staffed, it has great aid stations. But unfortunately, this year I don't think I'm going to be running it. So
Oh,
it's not
wow.
because I don't like it. It's just I'm just starting. I need to mix things up, and I want to do a 50K if I can find one that I feel ready for. That's not at night. Yeah, but there are so many great races here in Kansas City. It's hard. It's hard really to pick one now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think for me, my favorite is the Hawk. I did the Hawk 50 was my first was my well was, I did the Psycho Wico, which was my first ultra, and then about a month later or whatever, couple months later, the Psycho Wico was the end of July, and the Hawk started in, it was 1st of September, so 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. Did the Hawk 50, and the Lawrence Trailhawks do such a great job, and
Yes,
just
they do.
the whole atmosphere around that race is just it's just electrifying. I mean, every aid station you go into, everybody who's there, the volunteers, the other runners, and so I did the 50, and then I said to myself afterwards, I said, I think I can do the 100 next year. And of course, all my trail running friends say, sure, you can do the 100 next year. And so, I DNF'd on the 100 last year, just because of the rain. I was on pace to finish, but the rain was so slippery, and so couldn't move fast enough. But I think, yeah, the Hawk, and I would say almost probably any run that the Trail Hawks put on is,
and actually
I enjoyed the Nighthawk too.
Yeah, those are all great races. And if you would allow me to just talk real quick to the Trail Hawks, mm-hmm. We've had a couple races get postponed, as you know, this year due to the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I made a few comments on the Lawrence Trail Hawks Facebook page, which I didn't personally feel was offensive, but I did express just my frustration with races getting canceled, because I think that was the fifth one in a week, mm-hmm. that I mm-hmm. had canceled. And unfortunately, my comments were misunderstood. So I kind of had a little back and forth, just hashing it out with the president of the Lawrence Trail Hawks, because I want them to know that there was no malice behind it. And so I just want to say here publicly, I love the Lawrence Trail Hawks. I think they put on great races. And I love all the volunteers that put as much time and effort as they do into those races. And by no means did I mean to offend anybody. And if I did, I'm sorry.
Yes, to all the Lawrence Trail Hawks, we love you. we really enjoy the races that you have. So you said that part of your ability to run, I guess, is your ability just to believe that you can do it. So how does that work in the ultras? I mean, do you notice a difference in the ultra distance versus people who run marathons or people who run ultras say, you know, it's not that much farther than a marathon, but there is a pretty big psychological, and there's a barrier there that comes, you know, in those last few miles over the marathon distance.
it definitely, there's a mind game there. I go in with, I kind of want to just say ignorance and stupidity.
So you count on, is that your strategy or?
In a way, I mean, no, I go in knowing I can do it, which I have no idea, especially the first year I did 50K, I had no idea whether I could do it or not. Because at that point I had run one marathon, but I was convinced I could do it. Mm-hmm. Now, kind of like your experience running the Hawk, when I ran the Nighthawk my first time 2 years ago, I guess this would be the third year. I think it's 2018. Sorry. 2018. Okay. We had a torrential downpour that occurred within our first loop. So the trail went from being dry to being sopping wet and muddy. Plus, we had 40 mile an hour winds, lightning. They mm-hmm. considered canceling the race, but luckily it went by quick enough that they didn't have to do that. So when I finished my second loop, I had started losing faith. And luckily, my wife and my friend Bailey, who were there to support me, when I came through the start finish, they're like, what do you want to do now? What do you want to? And I was hoping they would say, you should quit, but they didn't. And so I was like, I didn't have it in me to DNF myself. And I wasn't that tired. It was just, it was mentally, I was like, oh my God, I have yet another loop
to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because I didn't want to let anyone down, I went back out there and I was so glad I did, because, I ran so slow, but I finished that race right below 10 hours.
Okay.
Which I was pretty happy with, especially with the conditions.
With the conditions, yeah, that is a decent time with the trail, because that's a tough trail, and when it gets muddy, there's places you have to really go slow.
Yeah, it was a tough trail. And then the next year I knew what to expect. So I went in there. I didn't take a crew, so it was just me. So I had a plan for nutrition. I had a plan for shoes. I had a plan for my bug spray. And I went in, and again, at the end of loop two, I was mentally questioning whether I wanted to do it, but not as much as the year before. Mm-hmm. And I went out there, and honestly, I think it had to do with the asphalt element. Like I just didn't want to run road that, but due to all the flooding, that was our only option. Mm-hmm. So I went back out and I finished, and I knocked an hour off of my time.
Well, that's so really good.
It was really good, but unfortunately it wasn't apples to apples. You know, I would love to be able to run that course. My goal when I signed up last year was run that course, hopefully have perfect weather, mm-hmm. and see how I truly do. But they had to pick an alt course, and so I still haven't had my true nighttime 50K experience with ideal weather.
Well, we'll hope for it this year. Well, you are not going to run it this year, but yeah, I think
at this point I don't have plans on it, but who knows, you know? I mean, it's at the end of May, so it, who knows if they'll have to postpone it, you know? Or yes. Is that right?
It's into June.
Is it June? Okay.
It's June. Yeah, it's June.
Okay.
June 27th, because okay. The Psycho Wico was moved to the same day.
Oh, no.
At least that's what I had heard. That's what I think. That's what's on the schedule. I don't think Psycho Wico's on Ultra Sign Up yet, but I had considered running both of those, running Psycho Wico during the day, and Nighthawk at night for 100K.
Uh-huh.
But
in one day.
Yeah, the thing I was worried about was the rest in between.
That could be an issue.
Yeah, because you'd have to get in a car and drive 40 miles and then wait for the start. So there'd be several hours in between. But I don't think I'm going to be ready for that. I don't think my feet are going to be up for it yet. So
yeah.
But
well, I'll keep watching your Facebook page, and I hope to see that happens, though.
We'll see. It'll kind of, let's see, this is starting in May. Yeah. It depends on what kind of mileage I can get in May and 1st of June. And that's possible. So what do you have coming up? I mean, you have races that are canceled? And I know you did. Talk to me about the virtual races that you've done.
Sure. While I talk to you, I'm going to bring up on my phone my spreadsheet, and I'll show the people what I'm talking about. So this is what I have on my phone, but it matches my computer. This is all of just this year, what I have planned.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I've, yeah, so that's the end of this year. But obviously it has to be, I have to be flexible. Actually, I showed you 2 years. I take that back. This year I have 51 races that are possible, but a lot of them have been scrubbed. My next race, a friend of mine, my friend Hallie, who I run all my races with, mm-hmm. She told me that there's a half marathon that's a Denver half marathon that they just opened it up virtually, I think, to everybody. So we might run that.
Oh, wow.
This
okay.
Okay. I don't really have a lot of races in May because they've been moved. I know I have I think Hospital Hill and Running with the Cows. Hospital Hill is a half marathon. Running with the Cows is a half marathon. And what I might run this weekend is a half marathon.
Okay. So are those going to be virtual races and been posted? So those are all virtual races?
They're all virtual. So I'm finding the virtual races to be difficult because kind of like what I mentioned earlier in our conversation, where I like my GoPro because it distracts me. I also like running with groups of people because I didn't realize until I started running half marathons virtually how much I depend on talking to people while I'm out there on the course to distract me. So, two, or I guess it was 3 weeks ago, I ran my first half marathon solo and I was bored to death. And I started having some mental games going
Was
on.
that where you broke your phone? You
Yeah,
dropped
thank you
your
for
phone.
reminding
Yes,
me.
I saw the video that I loved the graphic that you had of for if you haven't seen the video, you had this graphic of the phone dropping and what didn't it hit your foot and then bounced off and
Yeah,
landed.
I reenacted this. I said it was the most expensive virtual race that's probably ever happened because I ran a trail I didn't know. It was a paved trail. And at one point, I knew I was always supposed to go left, but at one point, I got distracted and I went right. I went about a quarter mile too far that direction, and the trail just ended. So I pulled out my phone to try to figure out where I went wrong. I don't think I've ever dropped my phone in. I got my smartphone in 2009, my first smartphone. So I haven't dropped my phone in 11 years. But I dropped it on this trail and I tried to use my foot to at least dampen the fall. And I did this. I had so much fun doing the animation, the reenactment of it on my video, that it took me almost as long to create the reenactment as it did to make the whole video. But for anyone who hasn't seen it, the phone just kind of floated. I'm trying to get it, my hand on camera, floated down, and then I used my foot and just gently tapped it up, and it just, like so softly flew forward and landed on the ground face down and just happened to hit this teeny little rock in the one place that shattered the whole screen and made it completely unusable. Like you see some people have shattered screens and they can still see everything, it's just cracked. Mine went completely black. So I had no way of calling my wife because she was gonna, I was doing a, she dropped me off on one end of this half marathon and she was picking me up at the other end. I didn't know how to get to where I was supposed to be. So I had to find a stranger to call her. I couldn't use my Google map to try to figure out how to get on the course myself. And then I also realized that if I'm going to be replacing my phone, I was going to have to replace my wife's phone because we bought our phones together. So yeah, it was probably the most expensive virtual run I've ever done. Yeah.
So what do you do when you're out there? I mean, you said you struggled with that when you're on your own. So
Oh yeah.
what are the things that you do to kind of help keep yourself going?
I brought my friend Hallie the next time, and we just kept 6 feet apart. No, it's one thing I'm probably just gonna have to get over. I don't wear music. I don't listen to music when I run. I never have, mainly because I don't like putting together playlists. So it becomes a mind game, trying to keep yourself interested, especially for a distance like 13 miles for me, someone who doesn't train. So,
Well, and it would be even if you have that, I would think it would be even harder if you were training all the time, if you didn't have. I mean, a lot of people use music to distract themselves.
I don't know. I think the mo if I ran more, I'd probably either start listening to music or just be better at being in my own head while running. No, it's I have found it to be a little bit of a roadblock, and that's something I'm gonna have to work on. Running by myself for long distances without kind of, because the thing I started noticing I do is I start questioning whether I want to run as hard as I would normally run, or should I just start walking? Or sometimes I'm just like, why am I out here doing this? I need to, that's for me, that's kind of the, I think maybe the hardest part of running, especially now when I'm running by myself more, is the mental side of it.
So does your mind wander, or just you just don't know quite what to do?
I think I still am in that because I'll still have my GoPro with me because I'm always, if I'm running a race, I'm filming it, right? But it's those times in between shots that I just don't have those distractions that I would have if I was with other people. And because I am still making a video and I'm still kind of looking for stuff to shoot, I can't let my mind just go into daydreaming or Zen mode. I'm always having to stay completely conscious of what I'm doing, and I think that's why it starts playing such a mind game.
So you don't want to, you wouldn't want to be distracted. I mean, someone Jordan mentioned audiobooks. So if you that would be almost too much of a distraction for what you're trying to do with your videos.
Probably if I was if I was filming a video, it'd be hard for me to do an audiobook. And I've also noticed, so I listen to public radio all day at work, and I can do my work because I do graphics, so it's just pictures, right? I can listen to the stories and keep up with it while I'm doing my work and not get distracted. But for some reason, with audiobooks and podcasts, I shut that off real quick.
Okay, so you
So
don't even hear it.
I don't hear it.
It just does.
And I think it's because I am concentrating on the stuff I'm maybe looking to shoot for my video. And for some reason, for me, it's easier for me to tune in and tune out to the news than it is to a story, because I feel like with audiobooks and podcasts, there's so many integral bits of information that they give you that you're not aware of. Like current with a lot of news stories, I have the foundation of what they're talking about, so I can piece together whatever information I missed. But with a podcast or an audiobook, I feel like I'd be missing so much that it wouldn't pay off for me. But thanks for the suggestion. And who knows, maybe I'll give it a try and prove myself wrong.
Well, if you're not filming, if you're not making a, if you start training.
If I start training, but I've tried to do audiobooks and podcasts at other times, and I've found that it helps my mind not focus on anything, so I still tune out. I might just not have the focus to do that type of media.
Yeah, it's just I get sucked into the story. And so for me it's too much of a distraction. It depends, well, it depends on what I'm doing, but I don't listen to anything when when I run. It's
Okay.
just, I mean, I even and I run a lot by myself. But for me, I have too many things going in, too many things going on in my head. And so what I have to do is try to get all of the rambling thoughts focused so that I don't, because, you know, my body carries on, but I tend to slow down. I tend to not do the kind of work that I can do, or I can't, even when I'm training, you know, I'm sloughing off. So, Angela asked, what's your average monthly mileage? Kind of would be, I,
It really depends on what race I signed up for that weekend. I'm not sure, Angela, if you logged on to this at the start, but
yeah, I think she was here at the start.
okay. So I might run a 5K one weekend, I might run a half marathon the next weekend, and I might run a marathon the weekend after that, and that's my mileage for the week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. For the month. Yeah.
For the month. Yeah.
For the month. So, yeah.
There have been months where I've run, I'm looking at my calendar, three 10Ks in a 3 week period. So, you know, that week, that month I ran 30, I'm trying to see, sorry. I don't mean to slow this up, but in a month I could run as little as 20 miles or I could run 40, but it really just depends on what races I sign up for.
Mm-hmm. You said that you've just started stretching. Is that like before you run, or is that like on a daily basis?
Okay. So I was really fighting it for most of the first 5 years I was running. I wasn't stretching before or after, and I was doing fine, but some CrossFit injuries that I have sustained to my lower back, I've noticed have been, I've been pulling my back more lately, and I have, through just trying to pay attention to my body, figured out that it was because my hamstrings were just ridiculously tight. They've always been tight, but with all this running I've been doing for the past 5 years without stretching, it's just built up, and, mm-hmm. and I'm paying the consequences for it. So I started this last year, it's probably only been the past 7 months, trying to stretch every day, sometimes twice mm-hmm. a day. And mm-hmm. I'll stretch my quads, my hamstrings, and now I'm trying to stretch my inner legs. And I've also really kind of put together over the past few months that, and people will probably laugh at me and say, duh, but everything's connected. So I'm realizing that some of the cause of all of this is because my calves are too tight. So I've been stretching my calves. I've been trying to stretch the fronts of my legs. But I've also started trying to do that before races.
Okay.
And I've noticed I feel way more flexible during races, and I feel faster. So it's something I think I'm going to really start incorporating. Now, I don't have it in me to do yoga yet on a regular basis. And that, again, is just a mental thing, because I've done yoga before and it's so much harder than you expect it to. I just don't want to do it, but it would be the absolute smartest thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. And I know here in Kansas City, when everything gets back to normal, they have free yoga at the Nelson on the lawn every Sunday. So I'll probably try, if I don't have a race, try to go do that.
Okay.
Because that way I'll at least be in nature and surrounded by people, and probably a lot of people I know, and I can get a good stretch. And because one thing I hate doing, and it's been so hard because of this pandemic, is working out or even stretching in my own house. Mm-hmm. I've always had to go out to a gym or something to do it, because there's too many distractions at my house. There's mm-hmm. always dishes to be done or something.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I'm learning how to do that stuff at home, and I'm getting better at it. But I just haven't been able to do yoga yet.
Yeah, just think of it as a mindset exercise. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Try to limit it. I have found that I typically don't stretch before or after I run, mm-hmm. but I have, I started this early on in my running, is that I stretch every morning. Mm-hmm. and it's three yoga poses and a few other just kind of random stretches, but that mostly focusing on hips, mm-hmm. hips and low back. And, that has done me well. I mean, I find I don't need to stretch before or after a run because I'm keeping myself loose.
That's probably the most important part of running I'm learning, is the stretching. And no one tells you that. And then the coolest thing for me with running that I've learned is just more about how my body works. Like, I never would have thought that my calf being tight could possibly cause me to throw my back out. But it's all so interconnected that if you don't take care of all those little things and don't take care of your body, besides knowing what you're putting in it, keeping it stretched and lubricated, it just comes back and bites you.
You mentioned Hadley,
Hallie.
Hallie. And you guys run together, and you were doing a show together right before the. So is that and so she's been part of your some of your races. I've seen her in your videos, but you guys were doing a show together and taking listener questions. I mean, and I it was it those were fun to watch. Is that something you're going to try to continue?
I don't know. So for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, right when the pandemic hit, Hallie and I ran our first virtual race together because the race got canceled. And while we were running, we just kind of, I think it was Hallie. She's actually so good for my channel because she's thought of things between her and my wife. My channel is staying kind of fresh. But she just threw out there that maybe we should take questions from viewers and then do a question and answer session. So a handful of people posted questions on that video and we answered them, and we literally talked answering questions for I think an hour and 45 minutes, which was amazing. But then like your viewer who had 50K worth of footage on a hard drive, I had almost 2 hours worth of footage and I was trying to figure out what to do with it. And I decided to break it up into 10 episodes, which sounded great when I came up with it, but
That's a lot of editing.
it was a lot of editing. And I released a video every day for 10 days. So I tried to get ahead of it, and I think I got three videos under my belt before the work week started. And then I just tried any spare minute I had where I could edit videos. I would be working on them and working late at night and getting up early. And it was a lot of fun. I got a lot of good feedback on it. And the coolest part about it is, besides people who've watched my channel for a while, being able to get to know me on a different level, it allowed me to get to know my friend Hallie better because we've only known each other for a handful of years. We basically met at the Team RWB 5K. She's a Team RWB member. I think I had just joined Team RWB as a civilian. And for anyone who doesn't know what Team RWB is, I'm gonna get the definition wrong, but it's a nonprofit organization to help active duty and retired military reconnect to their community through activities like running. So they were at a lot of our events, and I got to know them, and then I started recognizing people. And Hallie was in one of my videos, and then she showed up to a workout group November project that I was going to. And we realized we do all the same races, and we're basically the exact same level of physical fitness, and we finish races at the same time. So we just started running
That's
races together.
it seems like it's meant to be.
It was, and she saved me on races, and I've saved her on races. But then we also have an unspoken rule that if someone is kind of, if it's not their day and they're just not doing well in a race, that you can ditch them and run your own race and get your finish time that you want. So
That's
it's a
good.
pretty good partnership.
That's good. Well, and you guys had, I mean, on camera, you had a great chemistry together, and the runs that you've done together. The thing that I so appreciate about what you do, especially in your videos, is that it just comes out across as fun. I mean, it just you've got a lot of talent, and so So yeah, I would hope, I'm hoping that whoever, people who see this, this live will tune in, will find your channel on Facebook, not Facebook, on YouTube, and take a look at some of those videos, because they're fun to watch. And,
well, thank you. Yeah. I have such a fun time doing it. And, you know, you wouldn't know this, but I'm pretty much an introvert. So it's doing this has allowed me to come out of my shell a lot. And so my personality finally is able to kind of be expressed where people can see it. And I'm, you know, I can sometimes be a negative person, but by nature, I think I'm a happy person. And, mm-hmm. and so getting out there and being happy and just loving life and cheering people on, that's basically the purpose of my channel. And it, the channel started off as just kind of a way to share with people my experience starting running. Mm-hmm. But that was a very simplistic idea for this channel because I really didn't think past year one. And mm-hmm. then after year one, you know, I'm not necessarily a novice anymore. So I really just tried to focus on the other people that are out there and cheering on people that are obviously struggling or new to running, and cheering on the people that are doing great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've appreciated. I wanted to be respectful of everyone's time. I know there's some people who are watching, and so we've been at this almost an hour since we started. Started a little bit late. So, anything else you'd like to share? Just anything that, about what you do that comes to mind that we don't know about you yet, or that you'd like to just say, hey, this is who I am, or this is.
Well, I think probably the most important aspect of my running is the support I get from my wife. And so I really want to thank her, because running a race every weekend means one day of the weekend I don't get to sleep in. I'm up mm-hmm. at 5:30, and then at least one, sometimes two days of the weekend I'm editing, and she's so supportive in that way. And she actually last year volunteered to start closed captioning my videos, so when I'm done doing my videos, she hops on and you know, she spends a couple hours closed captioning it for the hearing impaired. And then the absolute best part about her is her trust of me, because I am constantly texting and talking to my friend Hallie and running with my friend mm-hmm. Hallie. And she not only likes Hallie, she supports my friendship with her, which says so much about my wife and says so much about my relationship with her. And I love her, and I'm so glad that I had the chance to meet her. We met very late in life. I was 42, or okay. I was 41. No, that's not right. I was old. we've been married almost 8 years. We've been okay. married almost 8 years, and I'm going to be 50. So yeah, 42 is when we okay. got married.
Okay.
We dated for about 18 months before that. So,
she drops you off and drops you off and drives to pick you up from races too. That's a pretty.
Oh no, she doesn't do that.
She did it for your virtual race where you broke your phone.
She did it for my virtual race. I only asked her to do that once.
Okay.
She used to come to a lot of my races, but that's a lot to ask of someone to come and stand around, especially for a longer race, like a half marathon or marathon. Mm-hmm. So after my first year or two, I figure she's done her duty. Yeah. She can sleep in, she can do whatever she wants. My hobby does not have to be her burden.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thanks a lot for sharing. I've enjoyed our conversation and learning just about video editing and the things that we've talked about and that I did not know that you didn't train. So that's it's kind of astounding. I mean, just for the level that you're running, the fact that you don't train, it's just, yeah, it's, I'm impressed with that. And
I wear that badge with pride, except I also know it's ridiculous. So I guess I also wear it with a little bit. The word is slipping my mind, but I know it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the couple times that we've gotten to run together, and I look forward to running with you more in the future, because unfortunately, I love talking, and this was great because I got to talk a lot and you answered questions, but it didn't give me an opportunity to get to know you better. So I hope to be able to do that out on the trail.
Yeah, so I would enjoy that as well, and looking forward to being able to do that. So, and whenever this lifts, I think there's going to be a lot of us saying, "Hey, you know, you're somebody I want to connect with." And we've a lot of people that I know. In fact, some who've been watching, I can't wait to get out on a trail and run with them as well. So
same here. I'm looking forward to getting back to normal.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Jason. I appreciate this, and we'll talk to you later.
Definitely. And thank you for the invite. And I look forward to being able to share this with other people, so you get more people watching you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And also, when I do the, I will probably tomorrow fill in all the text and everything for this live, and put a title on it. And so I will add your contact information as well.
That's great.
So people can connect with you on Facebook with Jason Silvers. Is that
Jason B as in boy?
Jason Silvers. B Silvers. Okay.
Jason B Silvers, and then I also am on Instagram, and I apologize to anyone who wants to follow me on it because I did the year I got the runs, and there's a period between every word, so it's the period, year, period, and so on. Uh-huh. So it's not fun to type in
a lot of periods.
I just didn't know what I was doing at the time, or I would have done it differently.
Yeah, I've done that with some things as well, so I know that goes. And then on YouTube as well, it's the year I got the runs.
The year I got the runs, but without all the periods.
Without all the periods, so. And the your YouTube channel is very entertaining. I enjoy whenever I see those videos come out. So,
thank you so much.
Thanks. Good talking with you. And I'm going to sign off on the live too. I'm not going to do any kind of outro, and I'm just going to say thanks for joining us for this Trail Talk, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.